Today we're talking about the human body. And the human body is just an incredible creation. I did a little research and I found out that, did you know your nose can remember over 50,000 scents? Think about that. Your nose can differentiate and remember over 50,000 different smells. The sciencefacts.com says that your thigh bone is stronger than concrete. Can you imagine that? Your thigh bone is stronger than concrete. According to The Guardian and National Geographic, if part of your liver is removed, your liver can actually grow back. And doctors can't figure out what makes your heart spontaneously start beating the very first time it beats. Our human bodies are really amazing creations. And the church, which is the body of Christ, is also an amazing creation. The body of Christ makes up 31% of the population of the world. Think about it. 31% of the people of this earth are part of the body of Christ. And that includes people in sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, Europe, Asia, Pacific, North America, Middle East, and Northern Africa. And this is the fascinating thing. Of that body of Christ, only 10% of the body of Christ lives in North America. That means the majority of Christ's body lives outside of North America. In fact, the largest part of God's body lives in Africa. The median age of the body of Christ is 30. In North America, we're a little bit older. We're in our 40s. In Africa, they're a little bit younger. They're in their 20s. Today, we're going to talk about the human body. So if you can look in your bulletin at the scripture, you can also look on the screen. And I'm going to take a moment to pray before we start reading this together. Gracious Creator, loving God, we come today in our flesh before you. We come today in our spirit before you and ask that you will teach us, that you will show us how you want us to live in these bodies you've given us. Give us understanding and insight as we read your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, starting with verse 12. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the member of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. May God bless the reading of his word. There's this blogger, her name's Tracy Miller, and she asks the following question. Do you treat your body as the residence of God? Do you treat your body as the residence of God? Last week's sermon, we talked about how God created you and that God loves you. And today we're going to talk about how we treat God's temple, our bodies. So first, we're going to look at kind of seven ideals that we get from the Bible about the human body. And then we're going to look at what does that mean? How do we apply this to life? So the first we talked about last Sunday, which is that God created you and God loves you. That's the very first thing we need to know about this body. God created it and God loves it. The second thing is that because God's Spirit lives within us, we are God's temple. Now you might ask, how do we know God's Spirit lives within us? And in Galatians 3, we are told that those who have believed what they have heard about the crucified Christ have the Holy Spirit living within them. So that's how we know we have the Spirit living within us. So looking back at what we just read, verse 19 of the sixth chapter, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" So Scripture just directly tells us that. And then I want to go back a couple chapters. This isn't in your bulletin. This is chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" So this is the second basic thing we need to know about the human body. It's God's temple. Third thing, we're going to read verse 17 here in chapter 3. It says, "For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." So the other thing we need to know about our bodies, it's together we create that temple. So individually we're that temple, but also together as the body of Christ, we create that temple. The fourth thing we need to know is that God's temple is holy. It is sacred, and therefore you are holy. You are sacred. But I just read a second ago, it says, "For God's temple is sacred." Next, we need to know that our body is united with Christ. Going back to 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? And also, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit." So you are one with Christ. Next, when we think about our bodies, we need to reflect on Jesus Christ and his body. So we know that Jesus Christ died, and we know that his body rose to life. And so in the same way, when we die, one day our bodies will also be resurrected. And so our bodies have value in that way. Now I gotta find Romans. Romans describes this beautifully. Let's see, chapter 8, verse 11. "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." So even though we die, our physical bodies do experience resurrection. And finally, you were bought at a price. So we recognize Jesus died on the cross for us, and we recognize that he gave his life for us, and so we were bought at a price. We read that again from our today's scripture. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So this is what we learned from the Bible. What does this mean? What does this mean about how we care for this temple? What are some core things we can take home from us? Well, first off, your body is valuable. I just want you to know that your body is very valuable. I think a lot of times people look in the mirror and they say negative things about themselves. They find things to critique about themselves. And I want you to know, when you're doing that, you're not critiquing yourself, you're critiquing God. So whenever you criticize yourself, know you're criticizing God, because God created you. God made you and designed you. God gave you the skin tone, the hair color, the eye color that you have. God designed your height, your weight, your physique, that God created you. And so when you look in the mirror and you beat yourself up, you're actually critiquing God. So instead, I want you to know, as Christians, it's okay to look in the mirror and say, "Wow, God is a good creator." Right? I think sometimes as Christians, we feel like we shouldn't do that. We need to be humble and all. But come on, God created you. It's okay. You can look in the mirror and say, "Wow, God, you did a good job." In your bulletin, there is a little thing for you to read looking in the mirror. And I asked Lisa Dice for this, and I've made a little bit of a revision. But she has shared this with several people over the years, and it has really made a difference in their life. To stand in the mirror and say these words to yourself about who you are. Because it's true. You are special. You are wonderful. God made you. God gave you a mind to think. And yes, all of our minds think differently, but God gave you a mind to think, and so your mind is beautiful. God gave you your body. It's beautiful. God gave you your soul. It's beautiful. And so it's okay for us to do that. Okay? It's important because you are valuable. Your soul, your spirit, and your body as well. Okay, second, if we recognize our bodies as sacred and holy, God's temple, we need to treat them as sacred and holy. In the Old Testament, there's chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters devoted to how the temple of God was cared for. I mean, down to the details of polishing and keeping things looking pristine and beautiful, God cared about how the temple was cared for. And so when we read about these chapters and chapters of God caring for the temple, it makes you think that maybe he cares the same for you. And the temple was set apart as a holy and sacred place where God was supposed to be worshipped. And you are set apart as a holy and sacred place where God is to be worshipped. I often hear people say, you shouldn't do that in church. And there's this theme where sometimes people will do things in church and then do things at home and they're different. You know, like, you don't swear in church. Whenever anyone says you don't swear in church, I think, does that mean you swear all the time at home? You know, or they say, well, we don't do that at church. I'm like, so does that mean you do that in your neighborhood? See, your body's the church. So if you don't think it's appropriate to do in church, it's probably not appropriate to do in your body. You should be the same person on Sunday that you are throughout the week, because guess what? The church is going with you wherever you go. You can't escape it. So if you're not the same person on Sunday as you are throughout the week, then you're not. If you're not the same person on Sunday as you are throughout the week, you're not recognizing God's presence within you. You're not recognizing yourself as a sacred, holy temple. Sacred and holy. It means set apart. It means purified. So, are you living your life in a way of purity? Are you living your life in a way of morality? Are you living your life in a way that you say, I am holy to God. I am sacred to God. Every minute of every day. And with this, do you live your life as if your body is only carnal, or do you recognize it also as spirit? Do you let your spiritual desires guide your physical desires? Or do you have your physical desires guide your spiritual desires? It's kind of an interesting thing to think about, like, how often we allow our physical desires to lead our spiritual desires instead of our spiritual desires, our physical, and how that, trying to figure out that balance between those, you know, like, we need to feed our bodies and we need to take care of them. But do we let that physical desire overcome our spiritual desire? It's all complicated. Anyways, just remember that God was encountered in the temple, and so God is encountered in you. When people interact with you, they encounter God. And when you interact with other Christians, you're encountering God in them. I want to share this from 2 Corinthians. I have a lot of bookmarks in my Bible today, so. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, as I read that, I've also been reading the book of Romans this week, and Romans really emphasizes how when we live in the Spirit, we're free. And even this passage talks about our freedom. And yet there's this holiness, and so we've got this balance, but when we're living in the Spirit, we will decontaminate our bodies. We will live holy lives when we're living in the Spirit, and it won't feel like a bunch of rules because we're allowing the Spirit to guide us. Okay, so the other thing we learn from all this is that your body is worth caring for, okay? Your health matters. It is good for you to care for your body and for your mind and for your spirit. So exercise. Now, I like how the Blue Zone puts it. It's much more accessible to me. Is the Blue Zone, instead of saying exercise, it's like, live actively, or what's the phrase? Is it live actively? It's about living actively. So I recently, I think it was at the doctor's office for a physical, they asked me if I was exercising. I'm like, well, not exactly, but I move. You know, I park my car at the end of the parking lot, so I have to walk all the way. You know, when I go to visit somebody in the hospital, instead of taking an elevator, take it up. But I've learned going all the way to the seventh floor isn't really a good idea, because I'm out of breath by the time I get to the seventh floor, and I'm like, hi, I'm here for a pastoral visit. But living actively, choosing to move instead of sit still, that's exercise. We need to eat nutritious and complete diets. And that can be hard to navigate, especially because it's constantly changing what they consider nutritious and a complete diet, right? Doesn't it feel like every single time you turn on the news, they're saying, oh, do eat this. But you told me 20 years, don't eat that. And then don't eat this. And I'm like, since I was a kid, you were telling me to do eat that. But we need to be thinking about how we eat and recognize that we're feeding this body and it matters. And it's good to eat. Food is good for us. Fat is good for us. It's good for us to consume food. But we need to consume in a balanced way. And I'm not a dietitian. My mother is. You can talk to her. We have dietitians in this church family. You can talk to them. But it's important that we take care of our bodies and eat right. Rest and sleep. There's a reason they call it beauty sleep. When you're sleeping, your body is healing itself. That's important for your body to get rest. And even if you have trouble sleeping through the night, because I know a lot of members of this church have trouble sleeping through the night, quiet yourself. Okay? So even if you can't sleep, quiet yourself for the time of sleep. And if you're worrying about the fact you can't go to sleep, your worrying is not a quiet sleep. So don't beat yourself up about the fact you're not able to sleep. Just lay there restfully. Do something that's quieting for your soul. Listen to soft music. Read something that's quieting to your soul. And then also emotional health matters. I want to read this from Philippians 4:8. When I was in college, we had a chaplain that read through the book of Matthew. It took him 5 years to get to the book of Matthew. Maybe longer. But anyways, he did a sermon not on Matthew 1 week. And he said that the reason was because he heard enough college students saying that they think too much, and he wanted to address that. And I'm a think too much person, so I really appreciated the sermon. And he said, it's not about thinking too much, it's about what you're thinking about. So if you're a thinking too much person, it's okay, as long as you're thinking about good things. And so this is what the Bible says we're supposed to think about. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that a cool promise? I want to read through this list again, because this is telling us how we find peace, okay? We find peace with Christ, and this is where God wants us to focus our minds. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Would others who watch your life say that you are treating your body as if it is God's body? Would other people who watch your life say that you're treating your body as if it is holy and it's God's temple? Third, as we look at what Scripture says about your body, the Scripture tells us our bodies are connected, okay? That relationships that we have matter. What we join our body with, we become connected to. So So going back to today's text in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. So, when we're intimate with somebody, we become united with them. And when we are, so that's one reason why, there's a lot of reasons losing your spouse is very difficult, tons of them. But one of them is you're actually united with your spouse. And so when your spouse dies, you're losing your best friend, you're losing your marriage partner, but you're also losing a part of yourself because there's actually a chemical bond that has been created. And there's a spiritual bond that has been created. And part of the grief that happens so long, your body grieves even when you're not thinking about it because your body physically feels that separation. And part of divorce, why divorce is so complicated, is also about severing that connection that has happened. And so we need to be aware of those connections that we make physically and intimately. But it also goes into the emotional connections and the spiritual connections. So we can connect with people spiritually, we can connect with people emotionally. And when we make those connections, we build unity, we influence each other. We impact the way other people think. So the people you hang out with, their ways of thinking are going to affect your ways of thinking, and your ways of thinking are going to affect their ways of thinking. The people you socialize with, their habits, they're going to be your habits, and your habits are going to be theirs. So we need to be aware of these connections that happen with our bodies, and to recognize our bodies exist and it's part of the relationships. That was another Blue Zone thing. When they were studying communities across the world where people live for a very long time, they found that the relationships the people had had a huge impact. That there'd be a group of friends that lived into their hundreds, or a group of friends who lived into their 90s, and they recognized it's because you influence your friends and they influence you, and without even knowing it, you pick up lifestyles, you pick up ways of being, and it affects who you are. Noting that, we also have to be aware of how we treat other people, because they're part of the body of Christ. And so not just when we're caring for this temple, we gotta care for the temples of other people, and we need to recognize Christ in them. So when I did youth ministry, I would tell the kids, I like, just remember that girl you're taking on date is your sister in Christ. Just remember that boy you're going to date, he's your brother in Christ. I tell you, it's really great advice to give a teenager. It really helps. They're like, ew. But it's true. It's true. We need to recognize Christ in each other, and we need to treat each other that way. We need to recognize that Christ is in each other, and we need to treat each other in that way. See, the body is also the church. That's our fourth point. So we have to think about, what does it mean to be part of a corporate body? What does it mean for us to have these connections with Christians just like here in Cedar Rapids, but also globally? We're connected spiritually to the Christians in the Middle East who are being persecuted and killed. We're spiritually connected with them. They're part of the body. And what does that mean? Or as we think about these things, what does it mean for the body of Christ to be pure? What does it mean to take care of the body of Christ and make sure it's healthy? What does it mean for us to care for other churches that they be healthy? Do you ever think about that? It's not just our responsibility to care for new disciples, but we also have a responsibility to the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Greek Orthodox, the Catholics, to help them be healthy because we're one body. And then to ask the question, has the church united itself with anything that hurts its witness? Is there a prostitute of the church that we have united ourselves with that harms the body of Christ? So the big question today is, how are we taking care of the temple that God has given us? The temple being ourselves? The temple being our neighbors, the temple being the church of God. How are we taking care of God's temple? And remember, you are valuable to God. You are God's creation, and you are loved. And so we praise God. Let's pray. God, you have given us this flesh to live in, and sometimes we neglect it, and sometimes we forget about it. And it's hard to know that it's okay for us to care for it. And sometimes we overcare for it. And we just ask that you will help us. Help us to care for your temple. Help us to recognize your presence within us and our neighbors and our community. Help us to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.